Okay, Sugya of Beria. Okay, so the Gemara in one spot, so it shows up several times over the course of Shas, but we're at Simon Kuf. Simon Kuf, a nice Beria Simon. 100.
Starting back on the front?
No, and we'll start in the front. So the Gemara is discussing the topic of the Gidon Asha. Right? So you have a Gidon Asha, Gidon Asha is a problem. Now, Gidon Asha doesn't really look very different than all the other Gidon, right? It kind of just looks like a Gid, like all the other things. Like that. So what happens if it gets mixed together? So the Gemara comments that if it gets mixed together, so then it's not batal. Anal batal yolam. It won't become batal. So the Gemara, the Beis Yosef comments, Beperek Gid HaNasha, Ahadus Nan, where the Mishnah tells the Gid HaNasha, Shneis Fashalim HaGidim, that the Gid HaNasha gets cooked with the other Gidim, in Inu Makira, Kulam Asurim. If you don't recognize the Gid HaNasha, they all become Asur. So the Gemara asks, Velivatel Beruba, right? So let it be Batel Berov, like everything else is Batel Berov. The Gemara responds by saying, no, Beria Shiny. It's four words. The Beis Yosef actually puts in an extra word. Mishani Ber Yishani. I believe the Gemara says Levatla Beruba question mark. Here in the Beis Yosef. Second
one.
Beis Yosef. So Levatla Beruba. Mishani, no, Ber Yishani. That when it's a whole, when it's something that's complete, when it's something that's full, so then it's not Mevatla. Okay? So that's the rule. That's the rule, that's the premise that we're going with. And really the question tonight, right, is so if you have something that's whole, that's mixed in with everything else, so it's not the batel, and if it's still there, so then you know it's there, you just can't find it, or you can't identify it, so then the entire thing becomes a problem.
But what's considered the whole Gidon Asha? I mean, it's a long nerve.
That's a good question. I'm not sure that comes up so much today. But yeah, the whole nerve, whatever the whole nerve is.
It is the nerve. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for something to be whole? So if you take a look at the Torah, hold your spot here, but just take a look at the Torah. I didn't understand what he was talking about for while, and then I realized he was just quoting the Torah. The Torah says, "Kol davar shehu beria, anything that is whole could go nimla, like a bean, right?
Nimla is an ant.
Oh, an ant. I'm sorry. Nimla is an ant. That's the case in Makos with a whole ant. Oof, or a bird, oof tame, or a tame bird. V'gid anasha ve'ever minachai. V'chiyotzi bazer, right? Similar things like this. Shem yachuk ein shmo alav eno batel yolam. That if you divide it up, it's not going to be called the same thing. I mean, if you cut an ant in half, you don't call each part an ant. You call each part a half an ant, right? You don't call a half a gid. You call it a half a gid, right? And so that's the first qualification that we're going to have. We'll see it discussed in the Rishonim, right? But the only, it has to be, a beria is defined by something that if we cut it in half, it won't be called that anymore.
Okay. Or right? You cut it at all.
You cut it at all, right?
Really?
Be, right? If you have a grape, yeah. Okay. Right, and you cut a grape, it's no longer called a grape, okay. It's now called a half a grape.
More.
Right?
Yeah,
so okay. That's the Torah's qualification. So the Beis Yosef says, that's very interesting that he used oof tame. Why do you say oof tame? Why couldn't it be an oof tahor? If you eat a whole oof tahor, right, so you have a problem, right? That could be a problem of nevela, right? Mm-hmm. Assume that it maybe even minachai. The Gemara discusses that, but it's nevela. I mean, you're eating non-shechted, right? So why does he say b'dafka and of tame? So that the Beis Yosef first says v'atlab umeshani b'yeshani v'dayek rabenu, right? But mesha amar of tame, right? If you meduik in the fact that it says of tame, the eno of tahor shenisnavel lo mikri beria. That if it became a nevela, it's no longer called a beria, right? Nevela, something that was, it's kosher, but it's like a kosher animal, but it wasn't shechted properly, it's called a nevela. Mm-hmm. That's not called a beria. So why not? V'chein kasav haran, v'harashba, v'zeh l'shono harash. And this is what the Rush explains. V'ha digid mikre beria, v'chein ever minachai v'dag tamei v'ov tamei. Right? A gid is called a beria. So too is a whole ever. Okay, that's interesting. But a leg is still called a beria. Okay. V'dag tamei, a fish, a non-kosher fish, and a non-kosher bird. Aval lo of tahor, an of tahor is not called a beria. Why? Aval lo of tahor mace is not called a beria. Why? The amr lekamen b'hai pirka. It says later on. Amar Rav achal tzipor tahora b'chayeha b'chol shuv mitasa. Right? If you have, the Gemara says later on in that parak in Gid Hanasha, discussing how do you define Eber Min Achai, it's a very difficult thing to define, that Rav says if you eat a kosher bird, b'chayeha, while alive, b'cholshu, the whole thing, b'cholshu,
any of it,
right, b'misasa, b'kizayis, v'temeya, b'im b'chayeha, b'im b'misasa, b'cholshu. That's if you eat a kosher bird while it was alive at all, b'chol shehu, b'misasavich, or if it was dead, you have to eat a kezayis, and if it was tamei, whether it was alive or whether it was dead, b'chol shehu. So uperish Rashi, the nevela lo mikriberia. So Rashi points out, he says, wait a second, what do we see here? A nevela is not being called a beria. Why? Shelo haisa nevela, kishen notzra. Because it wasn't the nevela when it was born. Right? What do you call an animal while it's alive? Right? Well, you don't call it a nevela. Right? You call it something else. Right? Well,
that carcass.
This seems like it's a third condition.
No, while it's alive. So this is... What do you mean? This is...
I mean, there's the first condition, that, it's got to have the same name.
Okay, well, the Beis Yosef didn't get up to that yet.
Okay.
Okay, the Beis Yosef will give it to you in a different order. The same name, right? The Torah quoted that whole... Mm-hmm. Give you the makor as well, but his first idea is that it has to be a beria, and it has to be called the same thing kishin notzra, right? So a gidanasha was always a gidanasha, right? An of tamei was always an of tamei. An of tahor nevela wasn't an of tahor nevela until it was killed, until it became a nevela. Right, about give of tummy.
Oh, sorry, instead of doubling, an of tummy is a bird that is not kosher.
Right.
Not one that had become tummy.
Right. Aval gidva of tummy, but if you have a gidva of tummy, a non kosher bird, or the ever minachai, right, chal yisurim, mishashinotzer, those yisurim were there from the beginning. Fine. So that's the first qualification. Then he asked as well, "V'kash b'arei chelev. What about chelev? Hamechases hakerav v'cherav haklayos v'chelev haklayos v'orlo v'kalei hakerem de'suri mitchilas briyasan uvatili." He says, "But wait a second. We have many other things that are bundled. For instance, chelev. Let's say you take all of the chelev of a spot, right, and you drop that in, right? So we say, okay, well, that should be considered beria. It should never be considered batel. We said, well, we know it is beria. We know it is batel. And so too, what about kalei hakerem? Right, let's say you have a greet. Like a grape and wheat. So a greet, I don't know. You have something that was made of kalayim, right? That's also aser. Right? So that's aser. Both of those are aser mitchilas b'riyasan, right? It's kalayim mitchilas b'riyasan. And it's an orla is from the beginning of the bria, right? From the beginning of its creation. So those we know is batel. We have mishnayos that describe that discuss orla being batel. Might be batel like 400 or something like that, or 200, right? The dinim of batel might be more chamor, but it's batel, right? So why are those not considered? Why doesn't beria apply to seems like wheat, and why does it apply to chelev? So he says v'yesh lomar dechol davar she'in yichalek ein shmo alav. Nikra beria, that anything that if you divide it up, its name doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
Ein shmo alav nikra beria.
Yeah. Anything when stick, it's called the beria.
Right. Anything that when it's divided up, its name doesn't stick. It's called the beria. The of tame, right? But if it does stick, if the name does stick after you divide it up. Right, would be called a beria. The oaf tame shalem nikra oaf. The chesh'ein shalem ain karnoso oaf. Right, when you have a full bird, you call it a bird. Right, when you cut up a bird, you don't call it a bird. You call it a piece of a bird. El chatichas oaf tame. The chen gid nikra chatichas gid. So to a gid, when you cut up, it's called a gid. The chen eiver menachai nikra chatichos eiver. It's called a piece of an eiver. Aval nevela afilu chatucha. Right, but with a nevela, even if you cut it up, karuya nevela, it's still called a nevela. The chol tavar shenisnavel kari nevela, be'ino shem ha'etzim. So that's actually a second reason why Nevela would still be okay.
So that also explains fat, right?
Right, 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 right.
It's still called fat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Gemara skipped the next one. The Chin Shor HaNiska L'Mikri Beria is also not called a Beria, as we find in Taruvus Mishum Dechsiv Lo Yechla Es Besaro. That so too a shor haniska wouldn't be called that, because it says that you couldn't even eat one chaticha. So shor haniska has its name even on a chaticha, so therefore it's not going to be considered a berry either. Okay. The chay nuchach perak gimel de shavuos. You find the same thing in shavuos. The time of the berry havi ilu perish hakasav lo sochlenu bechol shehu. Right, that we actually find that it seems like by a beria, it's as if it said exact. It said you shouldn't eat it. B'chol shehu, b'had the perek elu hein halokin maski rabbanon brias neshama chashivi chita lo chashiva. Right, that it seems from Makos, right, that only it had to have a neshama as well. Right, if it had a neshama, it's called that. Wheat is not called a beria. Right, so a whole wheat is not considered a beria. A gid and ever minachai are not called brias neshama, and yet it is chashivi beria. I mean, a gid anasha is not, never had a neshama. Right, there's no. So he answers, v'yishlomer derabanu l'divrei Rabbi Shimon Kamri. No, that v'chulei. That didn't answer the question. I believe the answer is because those things are part of something that did have a neshama. You know, he's leaving you hanging here. He's not really telling you what the reason is.
But according to that, the
but it has to have a neshama. So that knocks out the wheat, that knocks out the grapes, that knocks out all those things from having a problem of beria taruvus. Right? It has other problems. Right? It has other types of. Okay. So what have we seen here? So we've seen the first one was that it has to be the way it was created. The second thing it talks about is that it had to be
still have the same name.
Has to have the same name. And then the third thing is that it had to have a neshama, or had to be part of something that had to have a neshama. Is there a fourth? We haven't really done a fourth thing. Okay. So one more section here, and then we'll get into the Shulchan Aruch. It says Vaharan. So Vaharan cuss of the low mikri beria elim kini sura migufa. The Duran explains it's not called a beria unless it's isur migufa, could go and get that comes from the guf, could go and get a nash of the yosibushu asumitilasam briyasan. It was asa from the beginning. Valof tahor shinis navel shalohaya asumitilasu be surin low. Right, but if it's an oaf tahor that wasn't nevela from the beginning, so then it's not a problem. The chedivre Rashi by he the achol tzipur the horav v'chuli v'chasav the mehai time anami lo chashiv shor haniskal beria. For that reason, a shor haniskal as well is not called a beria because when you divide it, because it wasn't called a shor haniskal while it was still alive. B'tzarf o tanai sheni. This is number two. Here he gives you the numbers a little bit. Shehei brias neshama. It has to have been alive. You go and get anasha the have a chiyus that there was at least life to it. If it didn't have a neshama, even though it might be a bria, like a chita and things like that, that's not considered a beria, as we learn in Perek Elu Hinalokin. Umihu, chelev is not called a beria. Why? Even though it has a bria's neshama, why? It's not in one place. Right? It's not like collected as one. Rather, you could divide it up and it would still be called chelev. And also it's only called a beria if it's whole. But if it's not whole anymore, I mean, if it was broken up, even if it's all there, it's no longer called a beria. It's only a problem when it was all, right? Okay. So those are the conditions of beria. That's the last
one. What about
condition.
The one
that has to be whole?
Important enough to serve to a guest?
Well, that's not a beria. That's kafalif.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Kafalif is din chaticha ruya lizchavei. That's the next seven, and then the one after is I think one other one.
Okay.
One. And after this, din davar sheyesh lo matir. All these things are lo batal. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch now. So the it's not going to be it. So beria. So what is a beria? The hainu could go nimla, an ant, a wolf, tame, the giranasha, right? The evermin achai, beitzah sheyesh ba froach, or an egg that has a chicken in it, or any other bird, a bird in it. The chiyotzva, things like that. Afilu be'elef lo batel. So when it's whole like that, so it's not mevatel even afilu be'elef. It's not exactly the language of the Gemara. The Gemara was Einu Levatel Yolam. Okay. Ve'ein lo din beria. It's not called a beria. Elim kein hudavar e shahaya bochius lafuke chita achas shalisir. Right, like as opposed to one wheat grain. V'chein tzarech shehi davar she'aser mitchilas briyasa. So too has to be something that was aser from the beginning of its creation. Lafuke of tahor shenis navel. As opposed to an oath tahor that became in the veil of Ashur Niskal. V'chein similarly tzarech shehi davar shalem, that has to be whole, shem yichalek ein shmo alav, lafuki chelev, as opposed to chelev. V'chein tzarech shehi
John.
That has to be whole. That's what it means. Right? First, the chelev is, right? It has to be whole, such that if you break it up, it's no longer called that anymore, as opposed to chelev, which would be. And so too, it has to be shalim, it has to remain whole. The Ramah sticks in here, I'm not sure why. Oh, someone asked, how do you get a whole gidanasha? That's what he's saying. Right? The gidanasha is only on the kaf. The kaf is the...
The heel, the calf, I think it's probably the joint.
Okay, okay. It looks like
a spoon.
Yeah. It looks like a spoon. It's about
4 toes.
It's not very big.
So it has to be that part?
That's the part. That's the main part of the gidanash. All the other stuff that goes on to it. So that's not considered. So if it has that, so then it's a beria. Even though it sounds like part of it would be cut off. Okay. So I've kind of shulchan aruch. So the couple shach makes one or two interesting comments here, probably worth pointing out. Number one, in Beis, the shach number Beis, uveitzah sheyesh ba froach, that an egg that has a chicken in it. So what's the problem there? Sifsei Kohen, the sock. Alternates. It's interesting. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
So Barish Simon Kuf Yud Nistapika Beis Yosi Yichashiva Beria. Right? Is an egg considered a beria? Kishish Batipas Dam. Right. Let's say it has. This said it had a chicken in it. Okay. What happens if it only had a drop of blood in it? Is that considered a beria? So we achar the stay tichla bekulam. Right. That because the whole thing, we're gonna get rid of the whole thing. So he says the tshuvas. The Ra'al, I forget how you say it, the Ra'al in Chaviv, I think that's the Beis Yosef, Rebbe, or someone, Chashuv, Simon Pei Dalad, Kasav Ipshichus Tahave Beria, writes that it is a Beria. So he says that it is. Well, Fiyani is Daisy, so the Shach comes along, and, you know, so what do you mean? The Lohavi Beria, it's not a Beria. Kemisha Dayan Ein Bachiyusa, right? There's no life in it anymore. Vagam Bebeitza Efroach. Lo Eshkan, you're not going to find a bird there. The Havi Beria. Umin Hasvara Nira at the Lo Havi Beria. The Ha Hai Beitza Mitchilas Briasa Hai Simuteres. Because this egg, from the time that it was born, it was mutter. Vigabi Idna. The Kagavil HaFroach the Heterahu. And so too now, when it has the bird in it, he's not even talking about blood, when it has the bird in it. It has the bird, it's mutter. Right, the elsim peivavs. If you test, it's just not mutter for what you want to use. Right, but it's still a kosher egg with a kosher bird in it. Right, gabi efroach mi beitza treifa el the mechidusha harash for the chidusha harash for a perik ginanash dafkavav Kasav the Rambam Perek Tesvav may have machal sasurus. Machshava bear considers it a berry. Right? However, the Rishon consider it a berry. Ba'ach mishch peis Yosef b'simen pei vav l'kfar kasafti le'el simen pei vav sifat tasav. De'inum look for chai. I don't really understand that at all. But the Ve'er Rambam behilkach af she'in lahakim v'beitzus is froach. He says, all right, you know, the Rambam said I'm not going to go against the Rambam because makom v'ad v'beitzus dam in lesser klal. He says, however, the space Yosef was nervous even about the blood spots. So he says that certainly one wouldn't have to be machin for. So, okay.
So it's buried as long as there's a.
No, he says if there's a blood spot, so you don't have to worry about it.
He said, yeah.
If there was a developing.
There's a developing chicken, so he says, okay, then it would be considered a berry according to the Rambam. So
he said,
if you ask me, I don't really think so. But the Rambam holds that it is,
The Rambam wasn't holding on the blood.
Well, Rambam didn't talk about the blood. No, the basic. Rambam didn't say anything about the blood. He only talked about the Ephraach.
Okay.
So Yosef raised the question about the blood. Riyam Chaviv was Machmarad. And the Shach says, I don't know why you need to be Machmarad. So this is another one of the. If you go to like restaurants, you don't see them checking for blood spots. Right? You won't like. So this is one of the reasons.
Most of the eggs nowadays are not fertilized.
So you don't have to worry about it at all. And even if you did, so if you're making it a large mass, so it seems like you could be, assuming you had. Assuming we'll get to the Miyad Hamatzoi issues shortly, even though it's not really in this section. But it seems like there's pretty good room to be made just based on this. Even if you held that the blood was a problem, if you held it, it was really fertilized.
Even if you made it hard boiled, you'd never be able to find that.
Right. Oh, that also fits in with the halacha that we'll quote shortly. Somewhat shortly. What?
Hard boiled three.
Hard boiled three.
We talked about this before. You need to be a three.
Yeah, right. I talked about this back in the day. Although you still.
Nowadays, I think.
I think today you would call it a Miyach Eino Matzoi, so I don't think you would be required.
No. However, I think with brown eggs, it's more blood spots.
With what?
Brown eggs.
You buy brown eggs?
No, I don't
need one. Brown eggs are
in New Haven. I bought some. They candle the eggs and remove the ones with the blood. You can't candle the brown fish.
You think they still candle the eggs
and the white eggs? That's what they used to do.
What is a brown egg that's compared to a white egg?
You never seen a brown?
Yeah.
The show is brown.
Yes, what's the difference?
So the white can't get the
eggs. You can't see
the eggs. No. But what is the difference in the eggs?
It's more blood, he's saying. It's the same.
Well, I think they don't have to color the shells and wash them and make sure they're, because people like white eggs.
The shell is brown. I think they prefer brown eggs.
What do you mean? All right.
Okay. So, so lafuke. Okay. So the.
By the way, nowadays you can buy hard boiled eggs ready to go.
Yes,
sure. I assume they need a hatcher. Is that true? I mean, they're shelled and everything.
Sounds. Sounds like it would probably need a hasher.
Yeah.
I haven't found a hasher on him yet.
Because what you would buy a free foil, hard pay extra for it. You know, I'll hard boil it myself. What do you mean?
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
I think about eggs.
It's a
staff
of life.
Okay, and that's, I think that's. Covers this covers sif. Okay, sif base. So davar shu beria. What about something that is a beria shini special? So it was cooked in maheter. It was cooked with other things. So im eno makiro. If it's, you can't recognize the beria anymore, that's when we say hakol aser. Ba rotev benosin tam. But the rotev from it would only be a problem benosin tam. Meaning if the rotate falls out of it, right, if you get the rotate out of it, so it's only the problem is only like if you have egg, also assume an egg is a beria, right? So the eggs are a problem, so I don't know which is the non kosher egg. Well, mm-hmm. The problem is I'll never really know which one is the non kosher egg. The gidin is a, right, so you have several gidin, right? So the gidin all get cooked together, so I can't eat any gidin. But the rotate that comes out, so that would be pater benosin tam, or rotate benosin tam. V'im makiro, if you recognize it, zorcha, you throw it out, v'achir and v'arot. As long as you had shishim against the beria, so then you're okay. Chutz mi gid anasha she'ein taimo oser. Right, except for the gid anasha we assume doesn't have any tam at all, doesn't have any taste. The in begid the minosin tam. Aval shmano oser, but the fat of the gid anasha is a problem. So shishim kenegdo, you need the shishim opposite that. Lahati aroti lefichach. Therefore, yerach shenis bashal im gidah. Let's say you cook the yerach with its gid. Imakiro, if you find the gid, the zorka, throw it out, and the rest of it will be mutter. Aval im yeshbo shishim kenegdo. As long as you had shishim kenegdo shmano, I don't know, I figure that out. Im eno makiro, if you can't find it, so kolachatichus asuros, all the pieces are aser. Im yeshbo kedera shishim kenegdo hashuman. If you had 60 opposite the fat, mutar ha-rotev, so then all the rotev is permissible. V'im lav aser, so if not, then the rotev is all aser. V'im namuach ha-gid ve'inu nikar tzarech gam kein shishim kenegdo. And if the gid,
crushed.
Right, it was crushed and you can't find it, so you would need shishim opposite that as well. But if it was, right, in order to eat the rotev, in order to eat the stuff that comes from it. Yeah. Okay.
So he wouldn't take out a gidanasha and cook it with something else. So this
in the bat minisul kafila.
Well, no, but
that
is,
we have that kind
of. No, the reason he wouldn't do it, you missed it. Yeah, the reason he wouldn't do it is because it has no taste. So this is halacha is important for someone cooking the piece of the animal with the gidanasha stalev.
Right.
And that's why you need this halacha.
Well, I mean, if you did, lo and behold, you come in, oh my gosh, look.
So you can take the gidanasha out if you.
At that point, you can figure it out, right? You could take it out, right? Right, so it seems.
In some cases, they say it's not already measurable, and they took it out already. That makes up with others.
Right, that seems to be the case of the Gemara. The case that the Gemara was talking about is when the gid got mixed up with the other gid. Okay, so this topic of Beria leads along pretty much the dinim there, but however it leads to, but none of you have it, unfortunately. Sim Pei Dalet discusses the dinim of Talayim, so none of you have it, but I will read it to you. Sim Pei Dalet, you don't have it. So the Beria issue is the source for all of the bug issues. Right, because what's the problem with having a bug? So usually, bugs are a bottle. Okay, it should be a bottle. But if it's a whole bug, it's a berry, it's a full bug, so then it's anal bottle. So that's going to be that's the big problem with the bugs. So so there is a section, Hilchos Talayim. There is a section, entire Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Talayim, Pei Dalet. It goes on to...
Talayim
are bugs.
Bugs?
Yeah. Worms, bugs, yeah.
What?
Iron. It's an iron.
Yeah, tolops is a worm.
A worm, oh, I didn't really
feel it. I don't know if it's worms only.
Used to refer to as bugs, but okay. Talayim, fine. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol mini perus shedarkan lahatliya kesheheim mechubarim, that any perus that its ways are to be tolit when they are mechubar, lo yochal ad sheyivdo kapri. Right, so you're not allowed to eat until you've checked it out. Shema yesh bo talas, because perhaps there is a worm in it. Ve'im shah ha-pri, achar shenekar, yud beis chodesh, ocha b'lo v'dika, but if it was left out for 12 months, then you have to worry about it, so you could assume that it is gone. So that's the basis for our, that we check for bugs. What is the shadarkan lahatliya? That's the big question. What does it mean, shadarkan lahatliya? So that it that normally has a talaim there. So, in order to really understand that, one would have to go earlier in Yerodea to Hilchos Trefos. What's in Hilchos Trefos? I think we've covered here before checking the lungs, right? Checking the lungs of the animals, right? Right? Why is it there's 18 ways for an animal to be treif, but we only check one of them? We only check that the lungs are good. Why do we only check the lungs? Right, was that the only one that has some amount of that happens often enough that it's worth checking? Now, what's often enough? So, if it's above 50%, you'd be mechuyev to check the oraisa. If it's below 50%, so really the oraisa, we should follow the rov. Right, rov are okay. We assume rov are still okay. So, if rov are okay, so we shouldn't have to check. So, the rabbanan said, no. If it's what we call a miut hamatzoy, if it's what we call we have to be choshesh lamiut. We have to be nervous that even for a few. So the Rabbanan, so it's a din de Rabbanan to check when the possibility there is less than Rov. However, what is the minimum amount? It has to be there, you know, one in a billion, one in a zillion, well, what's it? So we go following the idea of trefos. So what is the percentages of cows that have trefos in it? Someplace 12, 15, 18, those are the numbers that are given, someplace in those range. So if it's found 12 to 18% of the time, or 12 to 50% of the time, so we call that a miyut hamatsui, right, a significant minority, and therefore is a din d'rabbanan that you need to check. So that's the basis for all checking. So that's the and you can argue about the little percentages, but that's the basis. The question then is 12 to 50% of what? Right? 12 to 50% of what? I mean, if there's a 12 to 50% chance that has a bug in it, what's the that? Is that a package? Is that a head of lettuce? Is that a shipment? Is that a amount that you normally eat in one serving? Is that a salad? What is the that? Right? So the different, this is really the big machlokas within the kashrus agencies and among the postmen, etc., how exactly to figure this out. For the full list of it, one can follow Rabbi Shmuel Maybrook's shir on why is berries bugging you, I'm available on YU Torah, but the percentages range from if you have one in whatever shipment you get, meaning one bug in a shipment, which pretty much means you have to check everything, right? To the most makel, is quotes Rabbi Willig as saying lo lemaisa, right? Rabbi Willig says I wouldn't, you know, if you would have asked me, but you know, lemaisa, you should rely on the kashrus organizations as saying 1 in 10 bites. Right? How do you measure it? I mean, 1 in 10 what? So I'm going to mean 1 in 12%, meaning how do I figure 12%? So if 12% of my bites would have it, so that would be the problem. Yeah, I believe the OU, I forgot to check before, but I believe the OU says it's one, you know, goes by the psak of 1 out of every, you know, 12% of servings would have it. Right? So if you normally eat an X amount of strawberries, right? So it's, let's say you normally eat 7 strawberries in a serving, so then that would mean 1 in...
12 times 7, 84.
Okay, 1 in 84 strawberries would have a bug. That's a high percentage. If you then turn around and say, no, it's 1 out of every, you know, 12% of my bites, right? This bite has a 12% chance of me having a bug in it, right? So that means a bug 1 out of every 5 or 6 or 7, yeah, or something, yeah, like that, scandal. which is a major kula. So even Ray Willig says not to rely, but it's good to keep in the back of one's
why
head.
Why is that a kula? Because that means you're making the numbers smaller. That means that 1 in 6.
No, that means that 1 in 6 has to have a bug, as opposed to 1 in 500 has to have a bug in order for me to check.
So.
Right. If you're talking about a caterer, right? So a caterer orders 500 strawberries at a time, or probably more than that, 5,000 strawberries at a time.
Yeah.
So if there's one bug in it, right? So then maybe I have to be machmer on that.
But
so otherwise, they would check.
Sorry, if there's a 12% chance that there's one bug in those 5,000.
So otherwise, you would check how many in this rare berry mango.
If you could check 7, reasonably sure that in these 7 there aren't gonna be. So,
so a 7 is a serving.
Right.
And as long as I have a serving which is clear, then I don't have to worry about the rest of the shipments.
No, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, we take everything individually, right? This has appeared in front of me, right? This food has appeared in front of me.
Yeah.
So do I have to check it for bugs? Right, so if there's a 12% chance that it's going to have bugs, then I have to check. Now, what's the 12% chance? What is 12%? So is it that 12% chance that each bite is going to have a bug? Which means that, I'll take this bite. That means that 1 out of every, let's say it's 2 bites per strawberry, right? So then it's 1 out of every 5 strawberries needs to have a bug. There needs to be 1 bug in every 5 strawberries for it to be required to be checked. Right? So that maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't exist, maybe. But that's meaningless here. That analysis is meaningless, okay. Right? Because the next shipment might. You know, I have to judge everything subjectively.
But then you're saying it's labels, you only have to check five strawberries. And
No. What he's saying is every, you know, when you make the book of how much, does this need to be checked, does this need to be checked, does this need to be checked? Well, yeah. Does the average, is there a bug found in five strawberries on it? Is there a 12% chance that in the five strawberries you're going to eat there's going to be a bug? Or is there a 12% chance that in the 5,000 strawberries that the caterer just ordered is there going to be a bug? One.
See, right? That would be more mach there.
That is much
if
more mach.
Yeah, you can't have it. If
right, one in five. Right, mm-hmm. What you need to check to make sure that it doesn't have. So that is meaning if it's below a mir hamatzah, so you don't even need to check. Right, meaning if there's a 5% chance that an animal has a brain lesion, right, we don't require us to check for brain lesions because it's less. It's considered less than a mir hamatzah. Right, so that's what you need.
I don't understand it. I'm missing something here. If there's a 5% chance that an animal has a brain lesion, why do I not have to check 5% of the animals to see if I find something?
Because that's not going to give you your answer.
Okay.
We're not trying to prove that it's less than 5%. We know it's 5%. I'm looking at this cow. Does this cow have a brain lesion? Right. Well, let's see.
5% chance.
There's a 15% chance that it has a problem with its lung, so I have to check its lung. There's a 5% chance that it has a brain lesion. That's called a miyachino matsui, so I don't have to check.
So where's the cutoff?
So someplace around 12-15%.
Okay.
Right. But when it comes to bug checking,
right,
it's a different analysis. Well, it's the same analysis. It's does this have 12% a 12% chance?
So how do I know about this shipment of strawberries from the XYZ farm versus this shipment of strawberries from the ABC farm?
Well,
it could be that this is filled with bugs, and it could be this is totally bug-free 100%.
Right.
So how many do I have to check?
Well, that's a different question. I mean, I have to in the ABC farm. So in what percentage of it do I need to find a bug? What percentage of chances does it need in order to require me to check?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, well, there needs to be a 12% chance you're going to find a bug. Well, 12% chance in how much? In five strawberries, in 20 strawberries, in 50 strawberries, in whatever I normally purchase amount of strawberries. I mean, what am I imposing that percentage amount on? I mean, with a cow, I know it's per cow, right? This cow has a 12% chance, right? But is it this piece of a strawberry has a 1%? Meaning, a cow is either kosher or it's treif, right? It only takes one treifa to make the whole cow treif, right? One bug doesn't make the whole shipment treif. It just means that there's a bug that I need to get rid of.
Okay, so here I don't know. I don't know about these strawberries. Here I have 300 strawberries sitting there that I bought. I bought from my house.
So based on the knowledge out there, what's the knowledge out there? So the knowledge out there is that bugs never have bugs. I mean, strawberries never have bugs.
Right.
Never, ever. Right, so then I don't have to check.
Okay.
Well, the knowledge out there is that in the Northeast they do have bugs, but in the Southwest they don't. When I was in Phoenix, one of the rabbis put a $1,000 bounty on anybody that could find a bug in a strawberry. Right? They never have to pay up. Right?
Okay.
So you don't have to check because it's a miyut she'eino matzoi that you're going to find a bug in it. Right? So
I don't know. I just have these strawberries and I don't know. And I start checking these strawberries. There's 300 strawberries. And I start to check them. Now I check 1, I check 5, I check 8, I check 20, I check 30. I haven't found the bug yet.
So when
can I stop checking?
Unless you know that strawberries have a big bug problem, that sounds like it should be sufficient. I'm not sure I could put a number on it. It's
okay.
You know. So that's that. That's important, Hara number one. Important Hara number two is in Siftes, where he says, Avar, you don't have it. I'm sorry, I think I should have copied it. He says, Avar ubishel toch yud beis kodesh velo bedika. Let's say I cooked it without checking. Right? Im yachol livdok, if I could still check, v'im lav mutter. And if I can't check, so then it becomes mutter. Meaning, let's say it's done. It should have been checked, but now I can't anymore. Meaning it's a 20% chance that it's going to be a problem. Right? Right?
Yeah.
So can I eat it if it's a 20% chance that it's a problem? So the Mechaber says you could. And the Shach says, why could I? So the Shach says, well, it's based on a Rashba. The Rashba says that, and it's based on another dim in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Treifos. What if I know I need to check? I need to check the lung. Before I had a chance to check the lung, along comes a fox, and the fox takes the lung, runs away. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I allowed to eat the cow? Right? Is it, again, there's a 20% chance that it's a problem. So the answer is, the way we pass it is, yes, you're allowed to eat it, right? Because the requirement that you check a miyut hamatzoy is only when you could check the miyut hamatzoy. But if you can no longer check the miyut hamatzoy, so then you can rely on the rov. You can rely on the majority. Right, so this is very important, you know, Hilchos Kashrus. So, you know, let's say you go to somebody's house, you go to some place, and you're not so, you know, and as they're serving the first course, you say, oh, I don't know, but this whole bug issue is only made up. It's all a trick of the Haredim in order to get you to buy the Gush Katif lettuce. Or, yeah. It doesn't quite fit, but whatever. It's all a big trick. It's all a big hoax. Anyways, here's the coleslaw, right? Like, oh, you know, it's homemade. We bought all the fresh vegetables for it. So,
what do you do?
Are you allowed to eat it or not? So, based on this shach, you'd be allowed to eat it. Because nobody would say that it's above 50% chance that it's there. Let's say it's a mir hamatzoy. A cabbage needs to be done. A mir hamatzoy. Right? So then one can say, okay, it's a mir hamatzoy. It's EF Charlotte, though. I can no longer check it anymore. So I could rely on the idea that rove it probably doesn't have, miyud hamatzoy it does have, but I can no longer check anymore, so therefore I can eat it. Okay, so those are two important bug checking haras.
Frozen vegetables need to have an OU on them because
okay, so the details.
Freeze. Okay.
Let's get off it.